The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. All right. Good evening, everybody. Sorry for the late start here. It's a little bit after 7 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, April 13th. We had the LPL and LEC LCK losers bracket finals and the LEC semifinals as well, losers bracket finals as well this afternoon. Just quickly touching on those. We had a really, really good day today. We had a plus 4.323 unit day. We got two extremely entertaining series out of it as well. Just want to quickly touch on a couple things. T1 against Hanwha Life Saturday morning. The first game in this series was kind of a shit show. I don't think either team played particularly well. The game one of this series was really, really wild. It literally looked like an unlosable game for Hanwha. And then they somehow messed it up, and then it turned into an unlosable game for T1 where they blew out like an 11,000 gold lead and just got overzealous trying to TF dive onto Viper, Viper's Varus, and they kind of just had like a split fight and nothing came of it. And Hanwha ended up getting like an Elder and a Baron, and then the game stalled out, and they ended up having to get another Elder and a Baron, and they ended up winning this game from an 11K deficit, primarily because T1 screwed up pretty badly. But, yeah, as someone that backed T1 pretty heavy in this, I was furious after that first game. But the next three games looked pretty close through 20 minutes on paper. Like, if you just look at the gold graph, they looked pretty close through the first 20 minutes. But T1 had better scaling in all three games, and they had full control of all these games, really. If you look at the next three games in that match, Hanwha Life never got a Baron. There were 9 Barons in this series, and Hanwha Life got just one in the first game. So, you know, despite the gold lead being there, T1 had better scaling setups in all four games, in my opinion, and were outside of that weird game one. They were in full control of the second, third, and fourth games in this contest, and it wasn't really all that close. There were a couple high-intensity moments. It was a very, very entertaining series. It was well-played. Like, I don't think Hanwha played poorly or anything. They had a couple really, really suspect decisions. I think the nerves kind of got to them. There was a situation in, I believe it was game three. I forget if it's game three or four. There was a situation where they picked off Karia and had a chance to... No, it wasn't Karia. They picked off Owner, and they had a chance to just force Baron, and they just didn't. And I kind of think that was a mistake. It was a missed opportunity for them. This was like in their, you know, I think it was like 24, 25 minutes in the game. Scaling was not on their side necessarily. So I feel like they should have probably forced the issue and at least used that to leverage, you know, to get some summoners and maybe force a fight out of T1. And they just didn't. There were a couple situations like that. But for the most part, this was just it wasn't a dominant series from T1, but they were in control for a lot of these games. We even got to see the Vayne top in game four, which was kind of cool. And, Hanwha Life kind of got tilted in game four, and they were to claw back, but this again was never really in danger for T1. They had a better setup. I think they had a better draft in all four games. So, yeah, entertaining series. The next one was Fnatic versus BDS, and this thing was an absolute slobber knocker of a match. This was like, first of all, this was a supremely, supremely entertaining match. This was a reverse sweep win for Fnatic. I haven't seen a reverse sweep in a best of five in a long time. I don't remember the last one that we saw. If anybody remembers that, just hit me up on Twitter. Off the top of my head, I can't remember the last reverse sweep I've seen. It's been a little while. We used to get them, you know, a couple times a year, but it's been quite a while since we've seen a reverse sweep. That being, BDS won the first two games of this series, and then Fnatic won out after that. I gotta say, as someone that backed Fnatic in this contest, and... You know, I wasn't on socials or Discord while I was watching this. I was just kind of like chilling on the couch watching this series. I was sweating this one because BDS completely dominated the first two games of this match. And I was like, holy shit, like, they're just on fire today. Fnatic made a couple really, really smart adjustments in the draft in this series. Wasn't anything super specific, but I just liked the adjustments that they made and the adjustments to the game plan. And really, the next three games, they only trailed. I think they were down by like 400 at one point in like the fourth game, maybe. And other than that, they were in full control and they were leading the entire rest of the way, the three games. So once they made the adjustments and figured out what was going on in this match, it was one-way traffic for Fnatic. It just took them two games to kind of solve that equation. This was an impressive, it was a highly entertaining series, first of all, and especially the Game 5. The Game 5 was a slugfest. Like, Fnatic blew out a pretty like huge lead early in the game, but BDS were not going down without a fight. They had really, really good ways to force fights in this game with the Taliyah and the Zac, and they just would not go down without a fight. Fnatic, it seemed like Fnatic, every time they got an edge, BDS were there to like chop it down. And eventually Fnatic got there, kind of actually took a huge fight win, even though BDS got the Baron, the second Baron, and they took a huge fight win and ended up like blowing the game open and winning it off of that. So yeah, super entertaining series. Both teams played very, very well. I think Fnatic just made better adjustments and the experience ended up showing. So two very highly entertaining series, and it looks like we're going to get a couple highly entertaining series tomorrow as well. Let's get right into that. So the LPL series on Sunday morning, I did on the show yesterday. So if you want to check that out, that's on yesterday's show as well as yesterday's Patreon post. For tomorrow, our first match at 2 a.m. Eastern is the LCK Grand Finals between T1 and Gen G. Gen G are minus 164 on the money line. Minus 1.5 maps is at plus 133. The minus 2.5 is at plus 392. T1 are plus 134 on the money line. This has actually changed a little bit, but I'll touch on that in a minute. Plus 1.5 maps at minus 162, plus 2.5 at minus 541, and the minus 1.5 is at plus 268. The T1 sweep is at plus 736. Gen G 18-1 as favorites this season outright, 14-5 against the map spread. T1 have only been underdogs in one other series this year. It was against Gen G in week 7 of the regular season. The head-to-head matchup between these two, week 1 was a reverse sweep for Gen G. That was all the way back in week 1. Week 7, which is the most recent match we've seen between these two, was a 2-0 Gen G stomping. So as the memes prophesied, we get yet another Gen G versus T1 finals. I have no idea how many times in a row this is. I think it's 6 in a row now, Chovy versus Faker in the mid lane in the finals. You know, as roundabout a way as it was to get here, these are the two best teams in the LCK, and these are probably who we wanted to see in the finals anyway. So it's not like I don't think the two best teams got here. It was just a bit of a strange path to getting there. A couple things to digest on this one. First of all, the previous two series for Gen G, they did not look themselves. Obviously, the playoff intensity is a lot different. They did not have any layups in playoffs. Hanwha and D plus Kia both really pushed them. In fact, they won the D plus Kia series 3-2 in five games. They beat Hanwha 3-1 in four games. As someone that backed Gen G against Hanwha, I was sweating bullets for that series. So they played 9 games in the playoffs so far. They only had a single significant gold lead in 20 minutes in those 9 games, which is a huge, huge departure from their regular season performance. And in 5 of those 9 games, they actually trailed at 20 minutes. Only one of those was a significant deficit, but still noteworthy. And I'm not talking a couple hundred gold. Like, you know, these were, you know, between 1500 and 2k like 3 or 4 times. So yeah, Gen G have not been themselves. They've definitely, I don't want to say they've taken a hit necessarily. It could just be poor form, I'm not sure. They haven't looked themselves. They've been sloppy. They haven't been as fundamentally sound as we saw in the regular season. They look like the nerves kind of got to them a little bit. Now, this is a team with a lot of veterans. It's extremely experienced. You know, a lot of these players have, you know, world championship rings. It's not like there's a lack of pressure here or a lack of experience on the big stage and big pressure spots. But, you know, Gen G have not looked as dominant form. I mean, this is still a good team. This is still a team that looked bad and still beat Hanwha and D plus Kia. And D plus Kia, I should mention, played out of their mind well in that series. Hanwha played pretty well in their match too against Gen G. So I don't necessarily want to knock Gen G for their more recent performance. I think a lot of it had to do with just their opponents played exceptionally well in the two series that we saw in playoffs. But I think it's fair to say that, like, you know, not all of the fault is on Genji's opponents playing super well. Some of it's on them. They've been a little bit sloppy and had some weird decisions they've made. On the other end of the spectrum here, we have T1, who it's kind of a similar thing, where T1, that 3-0 Hanwha series was the worst, literally the worst series, like, you know, eye test, qualitative analysis, and like via the model. That was the worst series we've seen since like the middle of summer 2023. That was the worst series performance we've seen from T1 in a long, long time. And it had me asking questions because they looked downright terrible in that match. And, you know, obviously Hanwha are very good at catching, you know, punts. You know, they're good. If you screw up, they're going to win. That's kind of their calling card. But I definitely had concern for T1 in the next match. And I even went against them in their next match against D plus Kia. They proved me wrong. They came out with a dominant statement series, a 3-0 sweep over D plus Kia to kind of, you know, put an exclamation point on the comeback there. The get right spot, I guess. It wasn't really a get right spot, but it was for them. Came out, looked tremendously good against Hanwha this morning. The first game of this series, they threw an 11K gold lead, and I don't want to give that a pass because I was furious, as we discussed in the recap. But in reality, like, they should have won all three of these games. This should have been a 3-0. They weren't stompings. Like, games 2, 3, and 4 were close through the first 20 minutes or so, but T1 had like better scaling in all three of those games, and they were in full control of the objectives in all three of those games as well. So it wasn't like they were in control with better scaling and a better draft setup and a better I think a composition that outcomped Hanwha's setup in all three of those games. So they were really under no pressure to, you know, like, force the issue and build up big gold leads. They never had to play the tempo play, go underneath idea against Hanwha. They just outscaled them. That's a bit of a different look for T1. It's not what we're used to seeing from them, but that's the strategy that they chose against Hanwha. And because the going underneath them didn't work in the last series, so it was a good adjustment and it worked for them. So I've talked a lot about this. What am I playing for this one? If you look quantitatively, you look at the full season data as well as the filtered sample of just these two teams against other playoff teams, both models, both instances, both data sets make T1 a short favorite in this contest, like minus 120 range. People on the Patreon can see the full layout for that in the model projections. I happen to agree with that. Like, generally, if you give an edge to Gen G for having, you know, preparation advantage and side choice for map one, I think it kind of balances out. End of the day, all things considered, like, this should probably just be a coin flip from a quantitative perspective. Like, if you look at all the numbers for these two teams, they're so close. They're so evenly matched. And that's, like, across the board. T1, I think, are a little bit better in the early game. Gen G are a little bit more controlled. If you look at the balance of the season, they're a little bit better late. Qualitatively, I think Gen G are more of, like, a, you know, what LS would call, like, a control deck team, which is, like, they want to control the game and not push pace, but they are more than capable of doing that themselves. I think T1 are the better tempo team, but, again, it's not like they're a one-trick pony either. They can do everything as well. So, I mean, there's a case to be made that Gen G wouldn't be here if it wasn't for, like, a heroic 1v9 performance from Chovy in their last match, and that this could have been a Hanwha series, and we would have seen this exact match in the lower bracket finals. I think the fact of the matter is that, like, qualitatively speaking, just using the eye test, outside of that weird, weird 0-3 loss to Hanwha where it was just like a complete no-show from T1, I genuinely think T1 have looked like the better team in playoffs. Realistically, though, like, I don't think it's enough of a reason to be like, oh, either of these teams should be significant favorites over the other. To me, this is a coin flip series. It should be a coin flip series. It should be priced as a coin flip series. Maybe you make Gen G minus 120 or something, but this price is out of line. I think this should probably just be a split minus 115 pick'em series, and it's not. So I'm going to be on T1 in this contest. The way I'm going to be playing this is I'm going to be playing not the full map spread ladder, but I'm playing two units on the T1 plus 1.5 maps at minus 154. 0.7 units on the T1 money line plus 142, 0.2 units on T1 -1.5 maps at plus 286, and 0.1 on the T1 -2.5 maps, the sweep at plus 785. the general reasoning here is, like I said, I just think this should be a coin flip series, and it's not being priced as a coin flip series. Gen G are minus 170 favorites, and I think that's just wrong. So take the plus 140 dog, close your eyes. Anything plus 120 or better is a play, preferably above 130 or more is what you want. I would be betting anything plus 130 or better on T1 for this contest. So depending on what you have access, just take the plus money. I think it's this series is too close to a coin flip for this price. So I played T1 in this contest. Models like to kill total overs as well, I should point out. But I kind of want to get a feel for drafts, like what the plan is, and if either of these teams have something unique cooked up. I'd rather just wait and see. So I'm probably not going to play anything. If I do end up playing any totals based on the complexion of the series, the draft we see, I might end up playing something live. So keep an eye on the Patreon for that. Moving on to the LEC Spring 2024 Grand Finals, we have El Clasico, the modern El Clasico. The original is SK, but the modern El Clasico is G2 against Fnatic. We have G2 minus 526 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at minus 179, minus 2.5 is at plus 200. Against Fnatic, plus 383 on the money line, plus 1.5 maps at plus 147, plus 2.5 at minus 251, minus 1.5 is at plus 801, and the minus 2.5, the underdog sweep, is at plus 2072. G2, 20-5 as favorites outright in 2024, 6-1 against the map spread in that span. Fnatic, 1-3 as dogs, 1-1 against the map spread in that span. The only time they've been dogs is against G2 this split and BDS for portions of the winter split. The head-to-head matchup between these two in winter, G2 won the regular season game and they won the playoff match 2-1. In spring, Fnatic won the regular season game and then G2 won the first best of three series 12 days ago, 2-0. So, yeah. G2 are without a doubt the best team in Western League of Legends. I think there's a case to be made that they're one of the better Western teams of all time. I think this is a world-class team. You look at their measurables, they're incredible. I think this is a top probably 8 team in the world. If there's going to be a Western team that challenges and maybe pushes to win an international event, it's going to be G2. They are no question the best team. They're versatile. They can play every strategy. They can carry through all 5 roles. They are willing to throw curveballs. They're extraordinarily well coached. It's a well-run organization. There's nothing not to love about G2, but this number is way, way too big. Fnatic are a very, very good team. Fnatic are probably the second best Western team, and I don't think they're like a full tier below G2. I don't. I think they're like a half tier below G2, but this price is out of line. Fnatic have beaten G2 before. This isn't crazy. They've beaten G2 with this lineup. It's not the way this series is being priced is as if Fnatic have no chance in this contest, and they do. The models made this like minus 200 or so. Let me see what it was exactly. The models using the full season sample for both teams, that's counting winter and spring, made this a minus 177 fair, or roughly a 64-36 series. And if you look at just spring, it's actually closer than that. It's like closer to 60-40. So this number is implying more than an 80% win rate, and I just don't see that for G2. As good as G2 are, if you want to like manually give G2 a bump like to their win percentage for this series because of all the qualitative reasons we've discussed, I'm totally okay with that. There's just no way I can get to minus 500. I just can't. That's dumb. And this price is out of control to me. Even if you just look at the last matchup between these two, we have odds from the last match. The last match was 12 days ago, like I said. It was priced minus 229 plus 184 on this for the series. That was a best of 3, not a best of 5. But it was a minus 182 to plus 149 per map price. The map price for this series is minus 263 to plus 209. G2 are better. There's no doubt that G2 are better. They're the best team in the West. But are you telling me that in the last 12 days, they've gained 8% win equity per map over Fnatic? Because that's what the market's telling you. There's no chance. There's no way. This is a bad price, folks. G2 are probably going to win this series. Nothing would shock me. It wouldn't shock me if G2 won this series 3-0, but Fnatic are a very, very good team. And even if you give an adjustment to G2 for having watched a few series, having the preparation advantage, they're still coming in cold. And Fnatic still have, I mean, Fnatic are an experienced, good team that have beaten G2. There's no way this price is right. Like, at worst, I made this, like, minus 300, maybe minus 350, if you want to be super generous to G2. I can't get it past that. Minus 500 is a stupid price. Minus 500 is what? 80, minus 526 is, like, what? 80, I'm going to just do it right now. It's 84% implied win percentage. There's no chance. There's no chance. Not a chance in hell. This is, like, 70-30 at worst. Maybe 75-25 at worst. 84 is a stupid price. So I'm playing, I'm taking a pretty heavy shot on Fnatic here. I hate going against the class of the West. I hate going against G2. They're such a good team. I get it, but this number is just bad. It's a bad price. I'm taking a pretty heavy bite on the Fnatic map ladder here. We're going to play Fnatic plus 2.5 maps at minus 239 for 2.1 units. Fnatic plus 1.5 maps at plus 155 for half a unit, 0.5. The Fnatic money line plus 412 for 0.2 units. The Fnatic minus 1.5 maps at plus 855 for 0.1 units. And the Fnatic minus 2.5 maps at plus 2187 for 0.1 units. This price is just wrong. I understand that it wouldn't even shock me if G2 come out in 3-0, but when the market gives you a layup, it's not even a layup, when the market gives you an opportunity to get a price that's this off, you just have to take a shot at it and take your lumps if they come. The way I'm staking this is if Fnatic take a map, we break even, and then the rest is gravy. So it's a pretty heavy shot, I admit that, but I think the plus 2.5 map should be double this price. Like, if you're doing, like, full Kelly staking, this is, like, a hammer play for sure. This is a bad, bad price. As good as G2 are, as much as I hate going against them, this is a bad, bad price. So, yeah, give me Fnatic, and let's see if they can get a game or two, and we'll be real happy tomorrow. That's going to be it for me for this. I mentioned on yesterday's show, it's going to get a little bit quiet for the next couple of weeks. So, really, we have the LPL match tomorrow I discussed on the podcast yesterday. The next professional match that we have in the four major regions isn't until next Saturday for the LPL Grand Finals. And then after that, we're kind of just chilling until MSI. For those that don't know, for MSI is the Mid-Season Invitational. It's like our halfway point, like, mini world championships. Each of the four majors is going to send a couple of teams, and then we're going to get some play-in teams from the smaller leagues around the world. And we're going to play a tournament. The winner of the tournament gets prize money and wins their region a spot at the World Championship. I think they did something different with the format, but I have to refresh myself. So it's a really, really fun tournament. It takes a place over the course of a couple weeks, and it starts at the beginning of May. So I'm probably not going to be having too many shows over the next maybe 2 weeks or so. But I'll be doing a lot of stuff ramping up to that. I'll have a futures and outrights articles on the Patreon. I'll have a recap. I'll probably try to do a show recapping my spring season across the four leagues and what I did well, what I did poorly, etc. And then I'll have some stuff, some content ready to be prepared for to get you prepared for the mid-season invitational. And then after that, starting usually in around the end of May or early June, is the summer split, and we do it all again. And then we have the World Championships in the fall. So shows are going to be pretty sparse. Patreon posts are going to be pretty sparse over the next few weeks. I use this time to kind of, you know, recap my season and then take some time off, because this everyday grind, it does get pretty grueling for me. So I like to unplug and disconnect. Maybe I'll be streaming some games. Maybe I'll be streaming some League of Legends or TFT or other games I'm playing. I don't mention this a lot, but I do have a Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/gelatilol, the same as this. So feel free to check that out. I'll probably have something this week to get us prepped for the LPL match on Saturday and to recap the Sunday three matches we have Sunday. So maybe I'll do a short recap show on Monday or Tuesday. And until then, I will see you. Have a good one and good luck tomorrow.